there any children who would like to slip out to our children's program, there's something organized for you out behind here. Sorry, I should have announced that before that hymn. But I think most of our children have slipped out anyway. They've got to know the fact that I forget to ask them to go out. But so please do join them. I wonder if I was to ask you what your dreams and ambitions are, what you would say. And I suspect, looking round, that the dreams and ambitions are probably as many and as varied as the people who are here. And we would be here for the rest of the day if we went round everybody and asked, what are your dreams? What are your ambitions? And there are lots of different answers. There are lots of different possibilities. And it is so good to have those dreams, those ambitions. It is so good to look forward. But I think we all recognize, too, that there are times when those dreams aren't fulfilled. There are times when those ambitions we had just don't work out, and we can end up frustrated and disappointed and often bitter because it wasn't what we had planned for. It wasn't what we had hoped for. Our dreams, our ambitions didn't work out. And sometimes we can take that further where we almost set on our children and maybe our grandchildren our dreams and ambitions. The things that we didn't get to do, we hope they'll do them for us. But it is important. Did you know that God has ambitions for you? God has ambitions for you, whoever you are. For each of us here this morning, God has an ambition for you. Now, that works out in lots of different ways. Different ways that we will serve God. But the overriding ambition that he has for all of us, Barbara read it for us, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That's what God wants from each of us. To be conformed to the likeness of his Son, to become like Jesus. Now that will work out differently because our lives are all different. But where God has placed us, God wants us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, to become like Jesus. And this isn't a dream, this isn't a wishful hope. This is what God is doing in you and me by his Holy Spirit, changing us day and daily to be more and more like Jesus. It's one of the marks that we're growing spiritually. Over these past weeks, we've been talking about growing. Here's one of those marks. You know you're growing spiritually when people recognize that you are becoming more and more like Jesus. Now, we usually think of that as becoming more like Jesus in his character. So we become more patient. We become kinder. We become gracious. We become loving. And that's quite right. We become like Jesus in his character. And can you imagine what a difference it would make to our world if all of those who profess the name of Jesus became more and more like him just in the way we treat each other? What a place. What a life. What a community. What a nation we would be. More and more like Jesus. And part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to shape us and mold us so that we do become more like Jesus. But it's not just about character. Important that though that is, it is vital that in our character we become more and more like Jesus. But we also need to remember that Jesus came to do the will of his heavenly Father. So on the night before the crucifixion, on the night before Jesus dies, in John's Gospel, chapter 17, he has this prayer that he prays for his people. And part of that prayer is this. Jesus said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus brings glory to his heavenly Father by completing the work that God gave him to do. So when Jesus dies on the cross, when Jesus rises again, when Jesus ascends to the right hand of his heavenly Father, he does the work that God has given him to do, and that brings God glory. So to be like Jesus, we too should be doing the work that God has given us to do. Several years ago, when one of our teams went out to northern Uganda, this verse was on our hearts from Ephesians, where Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and simply says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God created in advance for us to do." And as a team, that sort of helped us to understand what we were doing. But it's true for all of us. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared for you already. So part of becoming more like Jesus, part of growing spiritually, is to actively serve God, actively carry out the will of God in our lives. That's why it's important that we pray, "Speak, O Lord." That's important. Oh, it's important that we also say, "I surrender all," so that we not only know, but do the very will of God for us. In a few moments, we will celebrate this very simple meal together. We will eat bread, we will drink wine, reminding us of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. A body broken, blood poured out for us, for our forgiveness. And never forget that. That's part of why we do this. Because we have that sort of amnesia that we forget these important things. So Jesus gives us this meal to bring us back to that truth again and again. Jesus gives us this meal to remind us of what is central. But it is much, much more than an entrance ticket to heaven. And sometimes we give the impression that's what it is. Jesus died, he forgives our sins so that we have this entrance ticket to heaven, and for sure it is that. But it is so much more. We have been saved to serve. Not simply brought into the family of God so that we can sit back and relax and wait. Brought into the family of God so that we too may do the will of our Heavenly Father. Saved to serve. Just like Jesus. Now we need to be careful. Sometimes we think the more that we do, the more God loves us. So if I work harder, I'm going to gather up more brownie points. I'm going to win God's approval. I'm going to catch his eye. And of course, he's going to love me. Of course, he's going to favor me more. This meal reminds us that we don't have to win brownie points. This meal reminds us that Jesus has already won God's approval for us. This meal reminds us that we've already caught God's eye. And his love for us is unfailing. When Jesus died for us, he set us free from the need to win God's approval, for we could never do that. Jesus did. And we trust in him. It's a truth that you cannot do anything more to make God love you more. Sometimes we think, maybe if I went to a few more prayer meetings, if I read my Bible more, God would love me more. No. God loves you totally in Jesus Christ. Nothing you can do will make him love you more. Nothing you can do will make him love you less. Jesus died for you so that you can be forgiven and be secure in the love of your Heavenly Father. Set free from winning the approval. Set free from gathering up those brownie points of being good and being nice and doing the right things. Set free by Jesus. We serve God as part of our response to what he has done for us. We serve God when we realize what he has done for us in Jesus. Created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. Serving God. What is it to be like Jesus? Of course, it's about character, but it's also about doing what our Heavenly Father has given us to do. So how are you serving God? How are you serving God where God has put you? And again, sometimes our dreams and ambitions mean that we lose sight of where God has placed us now, because our ambitions are putting us somewhere else. Our dreams are to be somewhere else, and yet this is where God has placed you. How are you serving God where he has placed you? It may be something quiet. It may be something that no one else notices. It may be something up front, very visible. Either way, each of us is given gifts to use to serve God. William Carey was one of the founders of the modern missionary movement, the missionary to India, and went off to India and is credited with much of the Christian work in that nation, that continent. And yet, he was up front doing all that was seen. His sister apparently, and I only discovered this recently, his sister apparently was bedridden in London. And she spent her time praying for her brother's work in India. Who was serving God? Well, we would say William Carey was, of course. He was a missionary in India. But so was his sister, in a bed in London, praying for that work. Different gifts used to serve the same God. Each of us have gifts to use. Let's know what those gifts are. Let's use them. There's so many ways. Gifts of music that we see here Sunday by Sunday, folks who greet at the door, folks who help with hospitality as they give us tea and coffee after the service, people who pray within our congregation. We have folks who are in residential homes, nursing homes, or in their own homes, and they say, "Stephen, I would love to be doing something," but they're praying. They're serving God. People who work with our children and young people, folks who now visit our older people, folks who for whatever reason can't get out of their homes, serving God. We're blessed with people who have gifts of administration. Now, if you know me, you will know that is most definitely not the gift that I have. Gift of chaos in terms of paperwork is what I have. But we're blessed with people who have those gifts of admin, who can run things around here for us and keep things running smoothly. We're blessed with people who know about buildings, about grounds, and can help us with those things. People who make sure that the magazines get out to the right folks. People who prepare our bulletin, fold the bulletin, put it in your seat. It doesn't just appear there. All these little ways people serve God. The screens, the sound system, reading scriptures, leading us in prayer. The list goes on and on. There are so many different ways that we could and should be serving God in this place. God has given us everything we need to be the church here and now. And again, sometimes our dreams and ambitions can trip us up because we look at the church and we think, if only we had, if only we were, if only we could. The Bible teaches that we have everything we need to be the church where God has placed us. The gifts that we have, the abilities He's given to us. We have everything we need to be the church, and we bring glory to God when we do the work that He has given us to do. Most of us know the first catechism. Probably most of us can't get past number one. Man's chief end, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How do we glorify God? Well, part of that is by doing the work that He's given us to do. Whatever it is, the gift that God has given to you, you glorify God when you use that gift. Glorify God. Enjoy Him forever. And maybe you think, oh, that's not me, Stephen. Don't ask me to do that sort of thing. Don't ask me to serve God. Don't ask me to, I couldn't do that. Paul, writing to the early church, says, I can do all things. Now, he could have said, I can do all things because I'm really brilliant. I'm a cool guy. I am very gifted. Paul doesn't. Paul says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Jesus. So none of us should be saying, no, that's not me. I can't do that. I can't serve God. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all the things I'm called to do through Him who gives me strength. Like Jesus. And as we look at each other, we should see each other changing to be more and more like Jesus, week by week, month by month, year by year. And as that's happening, then our lives are giving glory to God more and more, because we're like Jesus. Not like us, but like Jesus. And that gives glory to God. So as we join together to celebrate this meal, we remember. We remember that Jesus glorified His Heavenly Father as He did the work that was given to Him to do. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you know us. You know our strengths and our weaknesses. And yet you still call us to serve you. Thank you that you are the God who graciously gives us the gifts that we need to serve and to honor you. Lord, help us in these days to be so open to your will, to be so open to the work of your Holy Spirit, that we are transformed to be like Jesus, in whose name we pray.